Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.
Η αναγνώριση της αρμενικής γενοκτονίας από τον Πρόεδρο των Ηνωμένων Πολιτειών υποδηλώνει, αν μη τι άλλο, την υποχώρηση της επιρροής που ασκούσαν στην Ουάσιγκτον ορισμένα κέντρα εξουσίας φυλαδιακείμενα προς την Άγκυρα. Ποια είναι όμως η ακριβής κατάσταση και πόσους φίλους μετρά επί του παρόντος η Τουρκία στην Αμερικανική πρωτεύουσα? Απαντήσεις σε αυτά τα ερωτήματα κλήθηκε να δώσει ο Γιάννης Σιτηλίδης, Ελληνοαμερικανός γεωστρατηγικός σύμβουλος στην εταιρεία Trilogy Advisors στην Ουάσιγκτον και διδάσκων στην Ακαδημία των Αμερικανών Διπλωματών. Μαζί του μίλησε ο Αλέξανδρος Λογοθέτης.
It seems that Turkey is left with no friends in Washington. What is your view?
Turkey has many friends in Washington that are very concerned about the foreign policy drift that has taken place under President Erdogan, and they tend to draw a distinction between Turkey, the nation state, an ally of the United States going back 70 years, and what they consider to be very misguided governance by President Erdogan. And so there is a very serious debate about how to prevent Turkey from further foreign policy drift that could rip apart its relationship with the U.S. and the NATO alliance in the months and years to come, but to do so in a manner that upholds NATO values, NATO norms, NATO interests, dealing with Russia, dealing with the Middle East, dealing with Northern Africa, and frankly, dealing with the China challenge, given that China has now put Europe in its crosshairs for long-term dominance through the Belt Road Initiative. And so all of these issues play very prominently in the U.S.-Turkey relationship. But right now, I would say that the Biden administration has come to an understanding within the interagency process that Turkey needs the United States more than the United States needs Turkey. And the impression had been given in prior administrations that the U.S. needed Turkey more than vice versa, and therefore Turkey was able to leverage that influence to achieve many foreign policy goals. Under the Biden administration, there's a sense that, A, Turkey is so isolated in the region, it is in an adversarial relationship with almost every single neighbor along its borders and in the larger periphery of the Eastern Mediterranean, the Black Sea, the Middle East, the Caucasus, Northern Africa, and also that the Turkish economy is on its heels because of mismanagement by the Erdogan administration, and that there is such tremendous enmity right now in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives because of Turkey's decision not only to acquire, but to activate the S-400 anti-missile system from Russia in ways that would severely compromise U.S. technology advantages in the F-35 program, that Turkey's normal support network is severely diminished. And I will state that for a fact. But it doesn't mean that Turkey has no friends. There are people who still very much believe, if you look at the map, that Turkey assumes a number of very dirty responsibilities on behalf of the global West in one of the nastiest and most problematic neighborhoods in the entire world. And whether we're looking at what's happening in Syria, what's happening in northern Iraq, what's happening with Iran and its continued sponsorship of international terrorist activities in the Middle East, in Europe, and assassination plots in Washington, D.C., and in Northern Africa, for that matter, that even if we disagree with Turkey frequently, that Turkey is a valuable ally in taking care of a number of nasty activities that the U.S. and our European partners won't undertake. So, in conclusion, yes, Turkey's historic support network is severely diminished, almost exclusively because of the misguided actions of President Erdogan that have alienated Turkey's historic supporters, especially in the Pentagon and in the U.S. defense industry. But again, looking at a map, it's a nasty place in the world. We don't have that many allies or partners that we can rely on to take care of some very dirty business. And there are still a number of very influential supporters of Turkey in the State Department, in the Defense Department, in the intelligence community, and in the larger think tank community in Washington who say, yes, we may have to hold our nose, but we still need a valuable ally like Turkey to take care of some of the more difficult problems that we're facing in one of the most unwelcoming parts of the world.
So effectively, what does it mean, for example, in terms of the S-400? Turkey needs to return them? What is the solution?
There may not be an easy solution here, because the problem is that Erdogan is now in many ways beholden to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Putin has now effectively driven a wedge inside the NATO alliance with this sale of the S-400s to Turkey. If Turkey were to return the weapon system or to deactivate them, it would be an insult to Vladimir Putin in ways that could be very, very detrimental to Turkey. For instance, there are many construction contracts in Russia using Turkish construction firms. Putin can cancel many of those with enormous economic damage to Turkey's GDP. Russia has a hold on the potential flow of Syrian migrants and refugees into Turkey. Well, if the Russian military decides to instruct Assad to undertake a number of offensive operations in very sensitive parts of Syria, you could see hundreds of thousands more migrants and refugees, if not millions more, flooding into Turkey and completely disrupting Turkish society and Turkish governance. Russia can make life very difficult for the Turkish proxies in Libya, because Russia and Turkey are on opposite sides of that civil war. Russia can exercise diplomatic and geopolitical muscle in the Eastern Mediterranean on the energy exploration activities, where Russian naval vessels can come in and intercept Turkish vessels that are protecting exploration ships. So Russia can make life very difficult for Turkey. And so Erdogan has to be very careful not to offend or embarrass Putin because of terrible mistakes he's made, painting himself into a geopolitical corner with Washington. So right now, Erdogan is probably in one of the most difficult positions he has found himself in the last 20 years because he's misjudged Russia and misjudged the United States at the same time.
Therefore, he's trapped by the sounds of it. So how do you see him getting out of this trap?
I don't know. And I'm not sure anyone knows.
Have you seen any signs that maybe he's inching towards the West and the United States?
It looks more tactical than anything else. It doesn't seem to be a genuine shift towards a bridging the gap with the European Union, with NATO, with the United States, given the very, very deleterious, misguided steps that Erdogan has taken since the Mavi Marmara incident with the Israeli ship that was engaged in the blockade of Gaza. In terms of the human rights abuses we've seen in Turkey ever since the Gezi Park demonstrations in 2013, ever since President Erdogan and his top advisors directly blamed the United States government for the 2016 attempted coup against his government, which was a completely domestic, organized coup attempt, and his refusal to accept American rule of law standards in the reason behind the Washington, behind the Trump administration, now the Biden administration, not being able to extradite Fethullah Gulen despite Erdogan's protests. He continues to see the world through a very narrow-minded Turkish framework rather than understanding where his natural allies in Washington, in Brussels, and in select European capitals could be more empathetic to Turkey's positions, except for the way that Erdogan has very poorly communicated his government's positions and the frameworks through which he views his neighborhood. And frankly, Turkey's overly ambitious and probably somewhat delusional ambitions of grandeur as a regional, if not global, power in ways that are simply incompatible with Turkey's GDP and Turkey's foreign policy status today and in the near future.
Finally, I want to ask you, recently we had the informal meeting in Geneva on the Cyprus issue. Of course, you know, it was predestined to fail because it's such a huge gap between the two sides that it's unbridgeable at the moment. The only government that can actually put pressure on Turkey to negotiate constructively has been and will be the United States. So the question lies, is the United States ready to re-engage with the Cyprus issue?
My sense is that the Biden administration will look to be as supportive as possible of the UN process. I can't say that in May of 2021 that there's going to be a major diplomatic push by Washington to resolve the Cyprus issue. There are still some long-held memories of what happened in 2004 when the U.S. expended inordinate diplomatic capital working with the EU and with the UN to try to resolve the Cyprus issue, and the tremendous surprise of the rejection of the Annan plan by a majority of Greek Cypriots at that time. And so the last thing that anyone in Washington wants to see is any more diplomatic surprises or setbacks. And frankly, there's a growing sense in Washington that Cyprus needs to be resolved. There's never been a departure from that ambition, that goal, that objective, but that the European Union really needs to step up its game, because we're dealing here with Greece as an EU member, Cyprus as an EU member that is artificially divided by this Turkish occupation of the north, and Turkey, an aspirant to the European Union, that has enjoyed a very prosperous and very advantageous customs union with the European Union for the last quarter century. But the problem is that the European Union itself is so divided internally regarding the prospect of Turkey joining the European Union, where you have some governments that are adamantly opposed to the concept of Turkey ever joining the bloc. And then you have countries such as Greece, which for very rational, productive reasons, understands that a Turkey that genuinely adheres to EU norms and values and standards, which means it signs on to the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea and a number of other international conventions that would severely reduce the kind of disruptive activity, revanchist activity, unlawful activity by Turkey in the Aegean Sea and in the Eastern Mediterranean, that would be in Greece's own strategic interest and probably to Cyprus's as well. So you have this broad spectrum of perspectives that are largely irreconcilable inside the EU. So Brussels should take a lead role here. They won't be able to. The United States can be supportive, but at this point in time, I simply don't see the Biden administration taking a major initiative regarding Cyprus, because the irresolution of the Cyprus issue is not something that affects American strategic interests today. We see a major shift of U.S. strategic policy away from the Middle East, where we've been embroiled in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and smaller conflicts throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa, for a decisive shift towards dealing with the long-term China challenge. And my sense is that Cyprus is caught up in that shift from the Middle East and Northern Africa and the Eastern Mediterranean to the Indo-Pacific region. But I do believe that the administration will look to be as supportive as possible to the European Union and to the United Nations if they can move this process forward. But the greatest obstacle, of course, is the relatively recent, at least blatantly stated position, that the only way to proceed is no longer with a bizonal bicommunal federation, but along the lines of a sovereign equality, which, as you correctly noted in your question, is a deal breaker from the get-go. And as long as that's the joint Turkish Cypriot position, there is no basis for negotiations going forward, and we may find Cyprus in a frozen status for many more years than anyone would have wished or hoped for.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν; Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.